Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. Today is Wednesday. It is the 5th of January, 2021. Today's episode brought to you by ZocDoc. And with me today, I have Charlotte Henry. Hi, Charlotte.
Hello, hello.
Glad you're here. And
happy new year. It's the first time I've been back
yes.
in 2022. Hello.
2022. I hope I said 2022 when we started. I'm going to have to go check. Also with me today, I have Andrew Orr. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, everyone. We are already halfway through the week. Let's go, team.
Wow. Wow. Who upgraded Andrew's firmware over the new year?
Right? I'm like, what happened?
Wow.
Yeah. All right. So maybe Andrew's Matter compatible, like some of the stuff we're going to talk about later. We'll have to see. I missed that press release from CES that we upgraded Andrew.
It's arriving soon.
Okay. Maybe the press release is out, but it's under embargo until later. That's what's happening. Right?
It's classified.
Well, let's go ahead and start with a very quick tip, from Charlotte, who discovered this and texted me immediately. And, yeah.
Well, when I explain it, you'll see why I had to text Kelly immediately.
Yes.
Harry Potter.
Yes.
So your iPhone, and more specifically the S Lady on your iPhone, can perform a couple of neat Harry Potter related tricks. How am I going to do this without setting off everyone's phones? If you say,
hey, lady.
Hey, S Lady. Yeah. Hey, S Lady. Lumos. The flashlight turns on, just like as if you were Harry or Hermione or Ron and you wanted to turn the light on with your wand. And if you say, hey, S Lady Knox, the same as it is in the books, I believe, it turns it off,
yep.
Which is kind of fun. And it does actually work. I played with it earlier and I tried it earlier and it does work.
Yes.
And apparently it also works on Android devices. You just replace, obviously, hey, S Lady with hey, Google.
Yeah.
Now, when I texted you slightly excited about this, because I thought you'd be excited about it, you were like, yes, this is a thing that people have known about. So my working assumption is because it's like the 20th anniversary, oh my God, how old are we, of the Harry Potter films?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. Andrew, shut up.
Yeah.
Because of that, I'm assuming this has come round again in some kind of periodic fashion that people have kind of realized and
yes.
become a bit of a, but it does actually work. It is a thing. And I thought you would like this. When I was reading a bit about it, I saw a piece from PC Guide. I think Andrew will appreciate this one. You can basically create shortcuts so that the S Lady responds to other spells. So you could say,
ooh.
Yeah, you could create another shortcut. And say, like, hey, S Lady Cantus, and music would come on.
Oh.
Nice.
Yes.
Very cool.
I saw that in PC Guide, and that did make me smile as well. Mainly because I
knew. That's awesome.
You shortcut. Yeah. The combination, like, the Venn diagram of people who love shortcuts, and Harry Potter was basically my colleague. And so.
Yeah. All right. So I've now set a reminder.
Avada Kedavra.
Wow, that escalated quickly. I was just gonna say, now I know to set up a shortcut for Alohomora to unlock my door because I have a smart doorknob, but no, Andrew took it to the extreme. So yeah. All right, thanks for that.
I usually do.
Okay, that's fair. So apparently not a complete firmware upgrade over the break is what I'm hearing. And yes, nightmare after New Year's. I brought it on myself, everybody. I know. And yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
So anyway, but speaking of announcements, Andrew, you have one for us that came out of CES that's sort of a follow-on to yesterday's show. And this one is from Wemo.
Yes. So I'm pretty sure at some point on Security Friday, I know at least you, Kelly, were talking about... kind of home video surveillance devices that mm-hmm. are actually private.
Yes.
And I think this device might be it, or at least as part of that category. So this company called Wemo announced a smart video doorbell, and it integrates with HomeKit. And what that means is that it works with HomeKit Secure Video. This is part of the iCloud Plus, whatever they want to call it, subscription, which starts at 99 mm-hmm. cents a month.
Yeah.
And so HomeKit Secure Video means that your this video stream that is recorded by this doorbell or another video surveillance device, mm-hmm. it's stored in iCloud. It doesn't contribute to your iCloud storage, and yeah. it's stored with end-to-end encryption. So it's completely secure and private. Only you can view these videos. So just to go into some details about this, so it's a smart video doorbell. Mm-hmm. They say it has a 178 degree field of view. It's a 4 megapixel high resolution camera, but it also has some enhanced night vision. Mm-hmm. It says, and it's also IP55 waterproof. That's the rating, yeah. so it'll stay safe in the rain.
Yeah.
It supports dual band Wi-Fi connectivity, 2.4 gigahertz and 5 gigahertz Wi-Fi bands. Mm-hmm. And they say, some of the requirements, you do need to have an iCloud subscription.
Yeah.
And they also say you need a wire doorbell system between 16 to 24 volts AC.
Most doorbells are in that range, but the catch is whether or not you have a hardwired doorbell. So this is like the button that's wired into the house. This isn't one of those stick up a doorbell anywhere sort of things, which may be limiting for some people. I do, mm-hmm. as a person who has done my share of doorbell research, I can tell you. so that's usually the biggest thing is, do you have a wired doorbell system or not? And the nice thing about this as a smart home device is that it will use both 2.4 gigahertz and 5 gigahertz. Some things aren't built to use either band of Wi-Fi, which can be really frustrating, especially if you have if your network is all 5 gigahertz and then you buy some smart home device to turn on a switch or do some other sort of thing, you know, and it's like, I can't find your network. A lot of times it's because it wants 2.4 only and it can't do anything with the other band. And so sometimes that can be a frustrating experience, especially if you're trying to make sure everything you're using is on a reasonable Wi-Fi network. So the fact that it will do both is pretty notable.
Yeah.
And HomeKit Secure and Video, having Andrew here for that, you know, Secure Video, that's a thing that always makes us happy. And $1 a yeah. month, and it doesn't sound like you need additional monitoring from Wemo aside from just having the iCloud Plus subscription so that it's available to you there.
Yeah, it didn't sound like that to me. It sounds like it's just purely HomeKit. Mm-hmm. I also want to mention as part of the HomeKit Secure Video, so what that also means besides end-to-end encryption when it comes to video storage is that it has facial recognition. What that is analyzed on device, like a lot of other things on the iPhone.
Nice.
It doesn't get sent to someone else's server, yeah. so it can determine if people, pets, or cars are present.
Ooh, this is really making me think I need to upgrade my doorbell. Because it does occasionally go off for motion because a car drove by that it managed to pick up. So, yeah, we'll see. And the 178 degree field of view is nice because it means if you have a doorbell that's, you know, just to the side of your actual door, or if you have one that's on a wall that's perpendicular, you'll still be able to basically see everything. And sometimes that can be a little tricky depending on the doorbell that you have. So very cool. Yeah, we'll have to see if anybody gets one.
I didn't see a price and not really an expected release date, but sometime this year, I guess.
Yeah. The joke about CES is what it really stands for is not Consumer Electronics Show, but coming expected spring. That seems to be what most people say. So we will see when that comes out. Generally, if it's from Wemo, like Belkin's pretty reliable about releasing that kind of stuff. So it's probably coming and it's probably coming soon. So if anybody gets our hands on one, we'll let you know about it. We have more to tell you about from CES. We have another tip from Charlotte as well. But first, I want to take a moment to talk to you about our sponsor this week, who is ZocDoc. ZocDoc allows you to compare doctors by rating and then also read reviews from actual patients. You just download the free ZocDoc app. It's the easiest way to find a great doctor and instantly book an appointment. With ZocDoc, you can search for local doctors who are highly rated and take your insurance, and you can book in-person or video appointments, depending what you prefer, and it's not just for primary care. You can find an eye doctor or a dentist or a psychiatrist. They have lots of specialists. ZocDoc makes healthcare easy. Now is the time to prioritize your health. Go to ZocDoc.com/TDO and download the ZocDoc app to sign up for free and book a top-rated doctor. Many are available as soon as today. That's ZocDoc.com/TDO, ZocDoc.com/TDO, and we'd like to thank ZocDoc for sponsoring the show today. So, Andrew, you have another CES announcement that we want to talk about, and this is for an environmental sensor.
So, yeah, one of the other things I talked about in my article is a company called AirThings. They have this product series, this product range called View Series, and they released three, or at least they announced three products at CES. So this first one is called View Pollution. This measures particulate matter in the air as you know, defined as indoor pollution. Mm-hmm. They say it's ideal for city dwellers, because they are a lot of times exposed to pollutants caused by maybe construction activity or vehicle exhaust, other airborne chemicals. They say it's also great for residents with fireplaces or who live in wildfire-prone areas. I think that might be you, Kelly, right?
That's kind of, well, I'm like, that's kind of everybody. Like, everyone I know on the West Coast is in a wildfire-prone area. And the people I know who don't live in wildfire prone areas definitely live in cities. So, like, this is basically good for everyone, I think.
I have a question. I don't know if you might not know the answer to this, and they might not have highlighted it. But is there a COVID element to this as well, in kind of helping with encourage people to have, you know, better ventilation and, you know, do simple things like open the windows and that kind of thing to have some fresh air? I wonder if there's that element to it as well.
They didn't mention COVID specifically in their press release, but when I mentioned it measures particulate matter in the air, they say it can measure both PM 1.0 and 2.5. So I don't know how big or small the COVID virus is.
Yeah.
No,
but being able to to measure something like that also gives you the opportunity to ventilate better. You know, whatever it is you're measuring, if you can circulate air through that regularly enough, that would definitely be helpful. So,
It was just when Andrew was describing the product, that was one of the first thoughts that came to my mind.
Yeah.
I thought that too. Yeah. And then we got to wildfires and then I got distracted. Yeah. So,
right, sure.
Yeah. So the second product, they didn't really mention a whole lot about this. It's just called View Radon, and it detects how much radon is in the air. According to Wikipedia, radon is it's the second leading cause of cancer after cigarette smoking.
Yeah.
So this one can track that. And then the last product, View Plus, it's a do-it-all device. So maybe this one is the one that we want, because it says it can monitor threats of radon, carbon dioxide, pollution, wildfire smoke, viruses, allergens, and many more threats.
All right.
So, I mean, they say viruses, so maybe that could be the COVID element.
Yeah. And also, one of the things I think was mentioned with this was that there's an AirThings for business situation with this as well. So, like, you could put this in an office if you have people in an office still, if you are in a place where that's a thing. This could be helpful there as well. That's quantified data is always kind of a good idea, and especially as viruses and wildfires and all this kind of stuff, you know, and like radon is a whole other thing. And when you become a homeowner, you are introduced to the magic of radon, which is colorless and odorless and looking to kill you at any given point, basically. Not to make it scary in any way. It's definitely a thing that you want to watch for, and it's definitely a thing you want to continue to monitor. Signed, a homeowner who had to install a radon mitigation system in my house. So there you go.
You know, this was straight from the press release, but they said, among other things, carbon dioxide. I'm assuming maybe they meant carbon monoxide, because that's another dangerous indoor thing.
Yes, very much. Carbon monoxide is a separate thing. And especially if you're talking about like people with fireplaces, that's another thing you kind of have to worry about too, is that sort of stuff too. So anything that helps like remind people about circulation and help with filtration is always kind of cool. So, you know, team one of these up with something else that will do some filtration for you, and you're probably in good shape. So again, this one I think also says coming expected spring on it. So if we find out more about it, we will let you know here.
So it sounds like, just real quick, because you said that, they say View Plus is now available in shipping. They don't say how much that is. For View Pollution, that is $200. View Radon is $200. And these will be shipping, like you said, in the spring.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah, I'm curious about the mechanics of this, and like what, because it sort of feels like there's a second piece to this. Now that you have all this information, here's what you can do about it. And so I'm wondering, like, you know, what do you do with a View Pollution or a View Plus? Like, do you then buy a filtration system from like an air filter or something from them, or from somebody else, or what, you know, kind of. So as more of these things are out in the wild and some of them actually start shipping, we will definitely find out, see what we can find out for you and cover that here. Lastly, Charlotte, you have another tip for us, which is awesome, because some folks probably got a new phone or a HomePod mini at Christmas, depends how good you were, I guess, or both, and may have discovered a sort of disappointing experience that you have an easy answer for.
Right. So I was on the good scale. I was good enough to get a couple of Santa left me a couple of HomePod minis.
Ooh, yes.
Which is very nice. I didn't get, you know, wasn't good enough for a new phone, but hey, what are you going to do? But no, I love the HomePod minis. I've been got a stereo pair set up as the speakers for my Mac mini now. And I've got another one in my bedroom. And I noticed that my iPhone battery, which is a good iPhone, it's an iPhone 12 Pro. It's got decent battery health. I checked earlier. Mm-hmm. Was draining horrendously quickly. And it was very notable this had happened since I'd got the HomePods, HomePod minis. And I sort of, I'll be honest, I was a bit confused and a bit concerned, and I had a Google. And it turns out there's Apple support forums for this, and it is a known thing. So if you have noticed that since getting a HomePod mini, and I guess an older HomePod, but they're not going to be something you've just recently acquired.
Generally not.
There is a setting you can change to avoid this problem. So if you go to the settings on the iPhone, and then go to General, Airplane Handoff, you need to turn the Transfer to HomePod setting off. Because what I think Transfer to HomePod is doing is makes the HomePod and the phone talk to each other almost constantly to see how close to each other they are.
How about now? How about now? How about now?
Yeah. Right. Because if you get within a certain, you know, if you get the phone close to the HomePod mini, you can transfer what you're playing from your phone straight to the HomePod mini, just, you know, by being close to each other in contact. Kind of think when you upgrade your phone and you put the two phones close to each other, it's that kind of vibe. So obviously by turning this setting off, you do lose that functionality, but it does a lot of good at preserving battery.
Yeah. And if you are a person who primarily interacts with your HomePod or HomePod Mini by tapping the icon on your phone or just by saying play this, you know, on my HomePod instead of doing the handoff thing with your phone, which honestly I forgot was a thing, Charlotte, until you brought up like my battery life took a hit and I found out this is the thing that was happening. Until you mentioned that, I was like, oh yeah, that was the thing that they showed us that was, you know, really cool that I have never, ever, ever used. So turning that off was just sort of a bonus in my book. So if it's not a thing that you use a lot, then turning it off, you know, you're not going to miss out on much. So maybe you can get a little extra battery life out of that.
So. It was quite significant. It restored the battery to how basically how it had been performing before, which on the 12 Pro is very, very good indeed.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm very happy with my 12 Pro battery as well. So good news. That's going to do it for us today. Looks like we managed to survive to the end of the podcast. Thank you both for being here. Andrew, thanks so much for coming by with your CES coverage.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And Charlotte, thanks for being here with the tips. Glad to hear it.
Thanks so much for having me. Great to be back for the new year.
Yeah, I'm glad everybody's figuring out how all of this works again so that we can continue in the new year. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other. Let's be careful out there.